Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 20th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 32, that first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it, through one paragraph ending, here is one. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Kate F. Readers of the text, Michelle A.C., Alice G., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Sunday, April 19th, is 23,379. That's 23379. And for this morning, Monday, April 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,380. That's 23380. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann S.C.H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is, our OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Kate F. in Washington State. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 32, the first paragraph that starts with, though there is no way of proving it, through one paragraph ending, here is one, and we'll be commenting on this paragraph today. I will now ask Michelle A.C. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. Though there is no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there is yet time. We have heard of a few instances where people who showed definite signs of alcoholism were able to stop for a long period because of an overpowering desire to do so. Here is one. So this paragraph is one I've always struggled with. So it was interesting to see it come up this morning because it brings up a lot of feelings for me, which is a great thing because I didn't have a lot of feelings before recovery. I shoved everything down, and so things would go by, and I wouldn't quite catch what was happening. And so the feeling that it brings up for me is this feeling of desire. Oh, things could have been normal. I could have been a normal person somehow. And I know for sure that the book's not telling me that, right? Like, that's just one of the things that's been stamped into my soul from reading this book, is that it is not telling me that I could be a non-compulsive overeater. So the book, why are they saying this? Like, why does this paragraph bring up that feeling? And I think it's instructive. It brings up the feeling so that I can have the feeling so that the very next paragraph, spoiler alert, is going to tell you, sure, you might be able to stop when you're young, but you'll never not be an alcoholic, a compulsive overeater, a compulsive overthinker, however you want to say it. And I think it's really sneaky. And I think there's a lot of sneaky spiritual wisdom in this book because they let us feel the experience so that we can feel the shattering of the illusions and the delusions that I've held for my whole life. And that delusion of someday I could have been normal. If I'd just done it differently earlier, I would have been a normal eater. I was never going to be a normal eater. Not from the time I was a little baby was I ever a normal eater. But what the book is saying is, sure, you can use willpower if you want, but it isn't going to get you very far because you're going to learn immediately that it's just going to all come rushing back the minute that your willpower lags. So, you know, the other thing that gets me about this paragraph is I don't want to have those feelings about my past, right? I don't want to feel like, oh, my whole life could have been different and it's been wasted. And I think the book, there's the kind of quick burn thing where they get you right away with, nope, not going to work. And the slow burn, which is you're going to learn by step 9, Michelle, not to regret your past or want to shut the door on it. And slowly I'm going to get there as I work through the next couple of chapters of the book. And I'm going to actually be glad I didn't do that. I'm going to be glad that I didn't white knuckle it for my whole life and think I was normal and pretend like everything was fine, because those experiences are going to be the very ones that make me useful to other people. And it's going to be a different past than I thought I had. You know, by the time I get to step 9, I'm going to have a very different past, and it isn't going to look like anything they described in that paragraph of white knuckling, trying to be a normal eater. So with that, I will pass, and thank you for letting me read.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle A.C. Just a great way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing
Jennifer
to every third
California.
Day. No worries. Just one second. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who is that first voice?
First voice. Jennifer G, California.
Perfect.
Christina J.
Jennifer G, Christina J.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Teresa C.
Teresa C.
K.S.
K.S. Well, that is a beautiful lineup. I've got Jennifer G., Christina J., Diane B., Teresa C., and K.S. Jennifer G., please go ahead and get us started and let us know where you're calling from, if you would, please.
This is Jennifer G., and I'm in California. And in reading this paragraph and how it starts, I could have never stopped without help. And I didn't know until I got to Overeaters Anonymous around 3 years ago today that I had I was allergic to flour and sugar, and I'm 73, so I got here at 69 years old. I was really living in a fog all my life. And that I knew that when I ate those ingredients, I felt sick. But feeling sick became familiar to me. I couldn't ever pinpoint it. I tried everything, went to everybody, what was going on with me. Never really got a diagnosis. And then I got to Overeaters Anonymous, and I put down the flour and the sugar. And I started getting physically healthy again. And I realized, and I tried to stay abstinent for 3 years. And then I started picking up bites. I don't know when, sometime last year. I'll take a bite here, I'll take a bite there. Alcoholic food behavior. And it always came, so what I was doing was I would get into these extreme emotions. I would go and eat those foods that made me sick, and I would feel physically ill, and the food never satisfied or never, you know, squelled those emotions, And I just kept repeating that behavior over and over again. And I understand with this disease that did progress in me until I was finally done. And so last month, I decided I knew I was in trouble. Those bites that I was taking last year became my alcoholic food bites. And I got really, really sick. I was in a restaurant. I decided I was going to have dessert. It was for my birthday, and I barely made it home. I was so sick eating my alcoholic foods, and I realized that I needed help. I was in trouble. I was in relapse, admitted I was in relapse, and that I needed to work this program again. Start with step one, get another sponsor, which I did, and I realized In these 3 years, I had never taken a good step one, which is admitting that I am powerless and that these alcoholic food, I cannot have one bite off my food plan of even a non-alcoholic food.
Time.
And so, okay, thank you. That sets up the whole disease. So I've learned so much, and I'm so happy to be starting over with a new sponsor. And thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer G. from California. Christina J., it's your turn to share, followed by Diane B.
Morning, Dawn. Morning, everyone. Christina J. here in Washington State. I had journals full of begging God to stop. I spent so much money trying to stop on diet programs, therapy, spiritual retreats. I wanted to stop. I had enough desire to stop. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I searched for years trying to find a solution. I started to step into the rooms of OA. I still didn't find the solution for a long time. I knew I was a compulsive overeater. I just didn't know how to figure it out. And I had a long periods that weren't really long compared to what I have now in program of periods where I could stop because I had a desire to be thin. I had a desire for validation. I had a desire for you to love me. And I didn't think you could unless I was thin. There were wounds that pushed that desire from my childhood. There was my mother who gave me a huge example of, if you're thin and you can wear sexy clothes in the world and people will pay attention to you, that you are, you're the shit, you know, you got your shit together. And so all that was running around in my little psyche as a young woman. And it lasted way into my 40s until my second husband died of cancer and I yet had another diet to go on. And I sat in the room of that fasting diet group and I realized I couldn't do it because I was lonely and deprived inside from love and everything else in my life. That was the end of my dieting. So the only thing that saved me, because all that has died away, I don't need your validation anymore. I don't need you to look at me and say how wonderful I look and accept me, because I learned through my career that God took me through that people will love me anyway. People love us anyway. We just have to be who we are, and it took me so long to find who I was. And now God leads the ship. I do it for God, because if I don't do it for God, I can't do it for myself. Really, I can do it for health, yes, wonderful, all that. But I've got to have God at the helm. He's got to be my everything that I do it for, because it's the only door for me now. I'm older. I am facing, you know, those last days of my life. I don't know. It might be years and years yet, but I'm thinking about these things heavily. I want to go to God clean, not just from food, but from my soul. And, you know, the work in this book opens up me to where all those character flaws, you might call them, or twisted character traits, have stopped me from really living my life fully. This disease is just a way to get me to God. And I'm so grateful that God used this to get me to Him, because I didn't have anything else in my life to get me to Him. The pain of this is what took me down, not the pain of anything else, the pain of feeling fat, ugly, and not lovable.
Time.
So thank you. I wanted this for ego, but now I want it for God. I want nothing to block God. Thank you for letting me share.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Diane B., it's your turn, followed by Teresa C. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 32 today, that first paragraph. Though there is no way of proving it through one paragraph ending, here is one. So, Diane, please share with us.
Good morning. This is Diane B., grateful to be recovered here in New York. And thank you, everyone, for your service, and especially to the people who do this regularly. And also, welcome to the newcomers, because you guys are the most important people. So I'm reading this paragraph, and I'm thinking, yeah, so maybe if I was alcoholic, I could have stopped drinking early in my early days. And I actually know that that's true for me because, you know, I did my share of drinking and drugging in my early days, and I just quit when I was ready. But I could never, ever quit with the food. And I've been a compulsive eater my entire life. My mother had me doing a pay and weigh diet food plan when I was 4 years old. I've always been overweight, always been told that I needed to lose weight. You have such a pretty face. If only you would lose weight, like all those things, and nothing ever worked. And it wasn't until I came here and I started applying the 12 steps and working, really working the steps in my life that I was able to arrest the disease and live a, you know, a life, a typical life. Life where my emotions are more more in balance and my relationships are more meaningful, and it's not all about me, and I'm not demanding of other people, and I'm not relying on other people to take care of me. It's amazing how different my life is today compared to before program. And I came into the rooms when I was 30 years old, 1986, I was 30, and I just was a mess, and I was reeling, and my therapist actually sent me here because I had just done one of those liquid diets and had lost all this weight. And she was like, okay, now you need group support. But it still took me years to really get involved in the rooms, to really understand and to follow the directions in the big book, because that's really where it's at. So as I said, this, you know, this paragraph is great. I mean, they all are. And this really, for me anyway, it was true that when I was finished drinking, I could quit. But I could never do that with the food. And that's something that I have to remind myself of every day in my prayers and meditations in my first three steps. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane B. from New York. Teresa C., it's your turn to share, followed by K.S.
Hello, everyone. My name is Teresa C. I am a compulsive overeater and food addict from New Jersey. I guess I had a couple of ideas about this paragraph. One was it brought me back to the time when they talked about different kinds of people that, you know, different kinds of drinkers, so different kinds of eaters, and that possibly people could have stopped. Maybe I could have stopped, you know, that thought, kind of assessing what kind of an eater am I? And I think all of us at some point maybe thought, well, sure, maybe if I had gotten to this earlier, it wouldn't be so bad. Of course, it is a progressive disease if we could have arrested it. But like you said, you know, few alcoholics have enough desire to stop. Who really wanted to. And I agree with Diane. I kind of had the same instance where I did alcohol and other drugs. And when the time came, I just said, I don't want to do this anymore. I just didn't do it anymore. But I can't do that with food. So I am not one of those people that could have, you know, that can stop. Maybe. You know, at the beginning, if I had understood what was going on and stopped, maybe I could have stayed stopped. But I don't know, the next paragraph, you know, just says, sure, you know, maybe I could have stopped for 20 years, but that doesn't mean if I have the disease, it's just going to go away. And I think that's part of admitting that I'm powerless. It's not the same as other substances, where, you know, I just make a decision and then that's it. I don't need anything else. But with food, I have to make the decision, but then I have to turn my life over to God and continue with the 12 steps and the fellowship in order to stay stopped. or I will go right back to it. No question in my mind. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa C. And KS, it's your turn to share.
Good morning, and this is KS from Iowa, and very grateful to be here. I think I was a cucumber for quite a while, my whole life. And then I discovered I was a pickle. I love that analogy. But anyway, and then I discovered, oh, I'm a pickle. And then I thought, oh, I've got enough program. I can function as a cucumber without all the tools and all the other stuff. I must have overreacted, and I can be a cucumber again. And you know, I just took me quite a few years to come back, and I tried to use another program that I was in, and it didn't work. I needed this program. Your sharings on this particular issue and applying these principles to this particular thing. Today, I feel grateful because, I kind of thought I'd grown enough, and I just knew that, oh, now I got this thing. So I feel like God wants to keep me pretty close because this one I have to deal with, not just three times a day. I still have to bring this out, and I can't just quit it and then move on with my life and practice. I'm going to have to really be close to God and stay close at least three times a day, and then, of course, everything in between. So anyway, I'm grateful to keep having the recovery. I do think some people might be able to do it, but I'm glad I wasn't one of them because I really get so much out of working the steps and listening to sharing, and I feel like I'm one of the lucky ones. I'll get to learn until the day I die is when I'm sure it's going to happen. So anyway, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much, KS in Iowa. Well, we're talking about page 32 today, that first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it through one paragraph ending, here is one. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Julie B., Oregon.
Who in
Hi,
Oregon?
P., New Jersey.
Julie B.
Julie B. in Oregon. And I heard Haya P.
Yep.
Deborah G., Arizona.
And Deborah G., and there was another voice that I missed in there.
Ginger M.
Ginger M. Was there someone else I missed?
Penny L.C.
Penny L.C. Okay, anyone else? That's a beautiful.
Lori C., California.
Lori C., California. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, I have Julie B., Haya P., Ginger M., Deborah G., Penny L.C., and Lori C. Julie B., please go ahead and get us started.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Julie B. from Oregon, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I was feeling like I was doing pretty well with my food and my food plan and abstinence and all that. And then I went to visit my father for a few days to help take care of him. He's on his last days, and we have not had a good relationship. So I was hoping it would be this, make amends and we're all great now, but it was pretty challenging. And when nobody was looking, I grabbed a box of Rice Krispie Treats and I ate every single one, and it was a big box from Costco. Why did I do that? And then I hid the wrappers, like a little kid. Like, why did I do that? I don't know why. And I told my sponsor, and I felt so terrible. And my sponsor said, "You are loved," and that just meant the world to me. And as I'm driving home from the airport last night, I'm thinking, I am a compulsive eater. That's why I did it. But a new phrase came into my mind, which is eating disorder. For me, I guess I've heard the expression compulsive overeater so many times, it's kind of lost its bite. Like, I don't quite see it as the serious thing that it is. But when I said to myself, I have an eating disorder, that clicked into my head like nothing else. Like, I do have a disease. It is an illness, and I am sick, and I do need to focus on getting well, and I need help. So anyway, I'm so grateful to all of you for your service and all of you who shared. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie B. from Oregon. Hiya P., it's your turn to share, followed by Ginger M. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hiya P., very grateful, compulsive overeater and restrictor and bulimic, and I currently live in New Jersey. I am on Colorado on the sheet, on the online membership, but I am now officially in New Jersey. I first just want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous, or maybe you're just new to this Overeaters Anonymous meeting. You're just so welcome here, and you know, I hope you'll stay and take numbers and get the sponsor and begin this beautiful journey. I'm just, you know, as I'm looking at the reading. What jumps out at me is, okay, well, the only way to prove it is through my experience proved it, right? Though there's no way of proving it. We believe that early in our eating careers, most of us could have stopped eating. I don't know that that's the case for me. There are people, I equate this disease to spiritual, like type 1 diabetes. So I say it's spiritual type 1 diabetes. And you know, someone with type 1 diabetes, you may not find out that you have it until later in life, but you had it the whole time. And it's just when it shows itself. And I think for me, they say, okay, early in our careers, we could have stopped. I'm not sure if I could have stopped totally. What's interesting is that they say what we could have stopped, but we, you know, most of us don't have a desire. When it gives the example of the man of 30, eventually that man of 30 is going to drink again. So yeah, I stopped for times. There were times, but the defining feature of this illness is that even if I stop, I can't guarantee I can stay stopped. You know, I would say my husband can. If he's determined, he likes to eat and he enjoys food, but if he is determined and he is not going to have a certain thing, he just won't have it. I can be extremely determined, but at some point, there may come a time where I will have it because I can't not have it because I can't stop myself. And that's the baffling feature. so I'm grateful that I stopped fighting this. You know, if I'm on this, you know, my sponsor would say, you know, there's everybody else in the world on one side of the page, and then there's us, her and me and whoever else feels they can include themselves in this category of I cannot with 100% certainty guarantee that I can stop once I start, and I cannot with 100% certainty guarantee that I can stay stopped once I do stop.
Time.
And if that is the case, thanks. Then I belong on that side of the page, and I'm grateful for the solution we have here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Hiya P. from New Jersey. Ginger M., it's your turn, followed by Deborah G.
Hello, this is Ginger M. in New York. Thank you for your service, Dylan G. and everybody else. I don't know really where I am in this. When I was a kid and I was an actor, my mother kept me on a diet all the time. So that was something I grew up doing, I guess, through mid school. And then I was able to stay at a normal weight for most of my life, became pregnant, had a miscarriage, and had gained a lot of weight. And since then, it's been difficult to keep it off for social reasons, I guess. I can lose the weight, but then my willpower becomes weak when I'm with people who are offering other kinds of food or some kind of an event. I missed the opportunity a few weeks ago. Well, I started working with somebody a few weeks ago, but she was pushing me too fast, and I almost got sick from it. And that experience stayed with me and created a lot of anxiety in me about working with a sponsor. So when I actually had the opportunity, like very soon after that, by surprise, to find out somebody was available that I'd always wanted to work with, the anxiety overcame me and I wasn't able to do it. And then I was in touch with somebody else and we were supposed to meet. She wasn't around for the call. And anyway, so now I'm I'm sticking to my food plan. I'm also taking weight loss injections, which is costing me more money than it had in the beginning. And so I don't think I'm going to stay with it. And I did gain some weight over the holidays, which I'm starting to lose. And I'm also exercising, going for a mile walk with weights every day. Well, I don't know if it's good for me every day, so with the weight, so I might take a day off in between, but that's what I've been doing. And I don't have anything in my house that I'm not supposed to eat. I have to get really, really depressed to buy something that I shouldn't have, that I shouldn't eat. And I don't think I'm going to stay on these weight loss medications. The person who was supporting me has let me down and hurt me in several comments that were made, and I'm not sure that it's good for me to stay in that relationship. So that's why I'm back on the vision, a vision for the meetings. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger M. from New York. Well, we're talking about page 32 today, that first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it, through one paragraph ending, here's one. And we're commenting on this one paragraph today. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Penny L.C.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, so much for your service and everyone who's making this meeting possible and all the shares that have been shared. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And, you know, I was remembering in the past where, you know, I knew I had a problem with a particular food. And, I'd try to control it. I'd try to put it down. I'd go back to it. I'd try to put it down. In my mind, I would think that I could go for a while without it. But that's all my thinking. That was all my disease thinking. Again, not realizing I have no power, still trying to control. Plus, there was an alcoholic food that I didn't find out to years and years later when I came to Visions. It was one of the biggest ones. And I was still putting it in my body. So no matter that I was still eating the other alcoholic food, this one was also leading me back to the food. And so when I finally learned, you know, what that alcoholic food was, by experience, I saw it right in front of my face. I woke up, you know, fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other, salting every single bite of food, not tasting my food, and saw that. And I called somebody and I said, that's my surrender. I can't do this anymore. I need help. Would you please take me through the steps? And she took me through quickly because I have no power. And I had to get hooked up with power. But I didn't know all this before. I was still in my disease thinking I could do it myself. And I'm so grateful that I had that experience. That was God's grace. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Penny LC, it's your turn to share, followed by Lori T.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Washington State. And what I know about this, though, is that maybe there are people out there that could have stopped early on. Those, you know, those people that are considered hard eaters or so forth. But for me, knowing what I know now from this book, I know I've got an allergy of my body. I know I've got an obsession of my mind. So that allergy, I don't know how that would have been able to be, you know, dealt with differently in terms of how do you get rid of an allergy. And an obsession of my mind, well, if that's just the way my mind is operating, that would have taken, I don't know, something beyond me to be able to clear my mind of that obsession. And then, of course, I've got the malady of the spirit. And that is always there. It doesn't change. And so how would I overcome that except with a higher power? And that's something that, you know, couldn't just be stopped. I needed that. I hope I'm making some sense here. But the point is that I believe that this is the way, part of my journey that was meant to be. And it's okay with me today because it took this disease to finally show me that I need a power greater than myself to be able to live a healthy, productive life. Stage 4 cancer didn't do it. You know, it took this disease. And I'm so grateful. And I wouldn't change it. I know that sounds crazy, but I wouldn't change it. I'm grateful today that I am able to call myself a compulsive eater and have this way of life that changed me into being a different person during this recovery process. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Penny LC from Washington State. Lori T., it's your turn to share, and then I will have probably enough time for one more share.
Hi, I'm Lori T. from California, and this is true. This applies to me with alcoholism, as the big book reads it, but this paragraph does not apply to me with food. There's no way in my early eating career that I could have stopped eating. There's no way in my current day of age that I could have stopped eating. I keep trying, but unfortunately, the foods I keep going back to, it gives me a dopamine hit in my reward center. And so my body wants it every day, like really bad. I was able, see, I have 2 days today, which is, it's always a mini miracle, but I don't know when the next time is. My body's used to having those, that sugar in my system, that it's stuff I don't want to eat, but I continue to go back, and it's a super, super sweet stuff, and I'm killing myself with it. I'm sick from a cold. I'm not literally like sick from doing my eating disorder, although it probably has something to do with it. But I show definite signs of being bulimic and overeating. And I was only abstinent for about 9 months, and then I'm periodically abstinent. But you know, just sneaking to the next paragraph, I underlined, once he started, he had no control whatsoever, and that's me. And I know that's a lot of you on the line as well. So I have to stay away from my red foods no matter what, no matter what. And I'm praying, I'm asking God, but I'm not giving God time to answer. It's like, I'm on my way to the store. Please, God, don't let me buy that in. Please, God, I'm in the aisle. I'm in the register line. Please, God, help me, help me, help me. But I'm buying them anyways, and I'm eating them anyways. So therefore, it concludes the belief that, well, maybe there is no God, even though I've believed in God since I was 5 years old. So I just need a real miracle. God, everyone, please pray for a miracle for me, because that is what I need. I want to get through this day so I'll have 2 full days. Just very tiring. I'm tired. And I go into deep isolation. So my number's on the list, Lori T, California. And I appreciate if anyone relates to this, to give me a call. Thank you so much. I adore this meeting, and thanks, moderator, for your service. I love hearing your voice every day on this day. So that's it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori T. from California, sending you love and prayers today. And we have time for a 2-minute share, if there's someone who would like to share, probably a minute and a half. Is there someone who would like to take that who hasn't shared in the last couple of days?
Susan G.,
go ahead.
Okay, hi. My name is Sue. I'm recovered from compulsive eating, anorexia, and bulimia. I've been in recovery for about 40 years, maybe 41. I lose count. But anyway, that is a very profound paragraph, because I never really gave it a lot of thought. Maybe sometime early in my career. But I was thinking about a time when I was in college, I had problems with food. I was not a compulsive eater yet. And I thought the problem in my life was my father, because he was like a high-functioning alcoholic. So I went to Al-Anon, and I saw the 12 steps up there. I heard people saying how they were sick, but I was in such denial, all I wanted to do is blame my father. And I thought that I would just get away with it. I didn't have to work the 12 steps. I could just read one day at a time, just for today. So I would load myself up with those meetings, and then I get to my father, and I was really in such resentment. It was unbelievable. I would, you know, do all these meetings to, you know, get myself like, okay, I'm ready to go, you know, and there it was. So although I didn't have the symptom of like the outside compulsive eating, I've definitely had all the isms, like getting very oversensitive, very resentful when someone would cross my path, and I couldn't let go of it. You know, if I think back, maybe if I worked the 12 steps in Al-Anon, I wouldn't have gotten to this point, but it is what it is, and I did hit the bottom, and I knew I was powerless, and I cried out to God, and he answered my prayer, and I just, you know, I wasn't ready at first. You know, I went to meetings. I even went to, I'm not in AA, but I thought if I went to AA, maybe something would catapult me into wanting to work the 12 steps. But anyway, I hit bottom, and thank God for OA and for God. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan G. And thank you to everyone who shared. This is just a very powerful meeting. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alice G. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Alice G. in Wisconsin. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you on.